friends, here I am again today with you as our Monday mom mentor. So I was going to have somebody else here with you today, but her son got diarrhea and she wanted to take him to the doctor. So I've rescheduled her for another Monday. So today you get me. So I realize that probably a lot of you don't really know my story, and it's not something that I share about really publicly. So I thought, well, why don't I tell you a little bit about who I am? And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to pipe in with them. I can see the comments and reactions here. So feel free to join in anytime. So here's a little bit about me. So when I was a kid, I'm one of those like cradle Christians. I became a Christian and I seem to remember inviting Jesus into my heart when I was 4 or 5. And my parents brought me to church all the time. We went to church on Sunday mornings and on Sunday evenings. And when I was in elementary school, we went to Pioneer Girls. And so there was a lot of church. And so it was just kind of a natural part of my life. But it was also something that I felt like God really cultivated in my life too. I didn't go to a Christian school. I went to a public school. And so I had to be a little bit more intentional about doing that in my life. So my mom would hand me devotional books and I would read through some of them. And eventually I started reading through the Bible on my own. And when I was in grade 9, I decided to get baptized. So I just always, you know, had heard like, do not be unequally yoked. So I wasn't going to marry a non-Christian. It was just something that was a priority for me. So when I went to Bible college and I seriously considered staying there for a while. Some people called it bridal college, but I didn't find anyone there that really caught my eye. So I decided to go to university instead, not to find a mate. In fact, to be honest, it was either that I was going to marry a Christian or I wasn't going to get married at all. Most of my thinking was that I wasn't going to get married at all, because to be honest, I kind of thought that nobody would ever pick me. So I went to university, took a science degree, and while I was there, I met my husband. We met on the leadership team of the Campus Crusade group that was there. So I think I was helping with the events, the special events, and he was helping lead we had like a Friday evening worship time and he helped plan that. He didn't lead it, but he planned it and got the speakers and the worship teams together and stuff. So he was a part of that and he helped me with a Christmas event one year, and the rest is history. So that's where we met, and I was feeling him out for a long time. Like, are you a Christian? Is this somebody, you know, would you ever be interested in being a missionary? Because for quite a while, I thought I wanted to be a pediatrician overseas. I was a woman that I learned about in Bible college that had done that a long time ago. I think her name was Helen something. Anyway, that was kind of my dream, was to become a pediatrician and to go overseas and to help kids who didn't have access to healthcare. But that kind of fell through. I decided not to even try to get into med school because I thought, oh, this is really getting serious. And do I really want to spend my life in med school? Or do I want to have a family of my own? It had never really been a super deep consideration for me before. So I just finished off my science degree, started working at a church. We got married. And then I have this really distinct memory of this date that we had at Chili's. I remember exactly where we were sitting. You know how sometimes there are certain memories that just stick with you and you remember where you were and you remember the smells? I don't remember what we ate, but I remember where we were sitting. I could find that table again in Chili's on White Ave. And he looks at me and he says, I don't know about this God stuff. Like, I think I believe because other people believe and they told me to believe. And I think I believe because I see that you believe so sincerely. And I see that God is working in you, so that's why I believe. And I went, what? Like, you don't believe in God? So that wasn't really what he was saying. He was just saying that he had a lot of questions. And those questions, he's just become more honest about those as the years have gone by. That was fairly early in our marriage. But to be honest, I kind of felt like I'd been duped. Like, I was going to marry this, like, super strong Christian spiritual leader husband guy. And he was not interested in being that at all because he had all these questions about faith that he needed to wrestle through, and he's still wrestling through. So that has created some tensions in our marriage because I wanted him to be something that he's not. And so for a long time, I tried to get him to do those things. I tried to force us to pray together and to do devotions together, and it all pretty much fell flat. And then when we had kids, I would try to be like, oh, you lead tonight, and you lead the prayer tonight or today. And I could always just kind of sense that it was kind of nagging. It was kind of getting him to do something, pulling at his feet and like, come on, you're going to do this. I'm going to force you to be a spiritual leader, whether you want to or not. So some of that has, a lot of that has kind of, I've let go of, as I've just realized. First of all, we all have different worship styles. So when I first discovered Sacred Pathways, it helped me understand myself more, but it also helped me understand my husband more. So if you don't know what the Sacred Pathways are, it's presented in a book by Gary Thomas, not a relation of mine. And he talks about 9 different ways to connect with God. And I realized that my husband was super intellectual. And intellectuals don't sing songs. Like, they don't worship like, oh, Jesus, yay, God. They don't worship like that. And so maybe when people have different worship styles than us, it can look like they're not worshiping God or not loving God. And it can also make them question their own faith. Like, if this is what people do when they're Christians and I am not doing that and I don't feel like that, then maybe I'm not a Christian. So we've had a lot of discussions about that kind of thing over the years, and he's had a lot of thoughts about it, and we found some friends that are similar, so that's really helped as well. And I've come to realize that God is working in him in different ways than he's working in me, and his worship styles are different, his learning styles are different, and his journey is different from mine, which is something that I learned really from Lindsay last week. The interview that disappeared on us, which I'm really sorry about, was really just that nobody has the same spiritual journey. We're all on our own path toward God. I mean, we're obviously all walking with Jesus, but the path itself looks unique. So that's been really interesting. And a couple years ago, I was at a spiritual retreat, and I spent some time in healing prayer with a group of people. And so healing prayer is kind of this unique sort of prayer. It's a little bit imaginative, where you just like pray for a while with the group, and then they just say like, where do you think that Jesus is in that situation? And so I was just talking about my husband, and I said, like, I feel like I'm carrying him toward the cross. And they said, okay, so where's Jesus in that? And then I just kind of, in my imagination, I saw Jesus looking at me, holding my husband, kind of like you would hold an infant. And my husband was like passed out and bleeding. And he's just like, don't worry, I've got this. I've got him. You don't have to hold him anymore. You don't have to carry this burden. Sorry. You don't have to carry this burden of your husband's faith. It's mine to deal with. It's his. And so that was really, really important, a kind of turning point for me as well, just realizing that God's got this. I can be confident in God's plans for my husband and for his faith, and even if it never looks like mine, it probably will never look like mine. That's okay, because God's got this. God's got him. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that too, that I really think that with your spouse, or even if you don't have a spouse, you know, God's got your family. He's holding your broken and bleeding family, and he's saying, I've got this. I've got this. It might not look pretty, but he's got this. So another thing that I've been wrestling through, a lot of questions, and I don't always have the answers. So even though I'm leading this Hope Ground Faith, it's partly because I need this too. So what does spiritual leadership look like? That's one of the questions that I've been looking at. Does it look like leading in devotions and praying every day and setting up family Bible times? I know there are families where the dad does that. And for a long time, that's what I thought my family was going to look like. And it didn't. And so I tried to force my husband to do that. And it didn't work. And it created a lot of angst. And when I suddenly realized, okay, first of all, God is calling me to be faithful to my own journey. So I can share that with my kids, and that's totally fine. And the second thing that I realized was that spiritual leadership looks differently. So my husband is he's deep integrity. And I think that is a form of spiritual leadership, of just showing my kids what a faithful life looks like. Even though he doesn't feel God in the way that I do, he is a very faithful Christian man. So you know, he doesn't often want to go to church. He's super introverted. He doesn't love being surrounded by people and singing songs. He doesn't love singing songs, and yet he goes anyway because it's part of who we are as a family. So those kind of things are a form of spiritual leadership, whether I originally thought so or not. It's a lot deeper than I thought it was. And also my next thing that I was wrestling through was how much of my child's faith is my responsibility. So I used to think, oh, it's my husband's responsibility. And then I thought, oh, it's my responsibility. I have to do this. But then I realized, no, it's not even my responsibility. It's God's responsibility. Now, I need to be faithful with what I've been given, but it's not. What happens in my child's life and in my child's faith life is not up to me because I can't force them to become followers of Christ. Nobody can force anybody to do anything. And if you're trying to do that, then you're probably not a very good person. So that's where the four values of Hope Grown Faith come from. So the first one is calling, that we are called as parents, specifically for this group as moms, to share Jesus with our kids. You know what? That is our calling. We have to be faithful to our calling. But we can also be confident that God is carrying this good work to completion, that God has called us into this, but also that he's doing the work in our families. He is working in our child's hearts and in our husband's hearts and in our hearts, and we can be confident of that. The third thing is that the best way to do this is with consistency, with small, simple habits that just become ingrained in your life. Praying blessings over your kids at night, doing a short Bible study at breakfast or at lunch or at supper, or reading the Bible together before bed. There are oodles of different habits that you could implement in your family. And the ones that I've suggested are just the tip of the iceberg. You can pray while you're brushing your teeth, or, you know, listen to worship music. There's just so many different ways. And coming soon, Tara Cole, who is also one of our members, is going to share a little bit about 40 different ways to abide with Christ. So it's way more than just reading the Bible and praying. So those are little consistent habits that we can have in our days, and those are the things that really make a difference for a lifetime of faith. It's not once in a while having this big, like, worship service in our home. It's just these small, faithful choices every day. Anyway, and the last thing of Hope Grown Faith is the creativity. So your family's faith is going to look a little bit different from mine, because we can be creative in that, because God has given me different skills and different faith journey than he's given you. So maybe your family is really great at having debates about the sermon on Sundays, and that's one of the things that really draws your family together and draws them closer to God. That's not something that we do, at least not at this stage in our life. Or maybe you really love to act out Bible stories with your kids, or make Bible crafts, or read through the storybook Bibles, or I don't know, there's just so many ways that you could be sharing faith with your kids. And so that's one of the things. If you go through the one I did back in January and February, which was about how to read the Bible with your kids in a way that it really engages them, so that one really speaks to the creativity. So you can, if you want some more ideas for that, you can go back and look at that one, which is a mini course. So those are the four parts of Hope Grown Faith: calling, confidence, consistency, and creativity, which are the four things that I've found in my life to be true and that I believe about family faith and about our own faith, and that I really think are applicable to your life as well. You can find out more about those four values in the Start Here course in the membership site, so that if you haven't done that already, or if you have done it like a year ago and you want to refresh your memory about those, they're each like 5-minute videos, so they're quite short about each of those. Yeah, so that is a little snippet of my life. So I hope that was encouraging to you. And if you have any questions, I'd love to hear them. And also, if you have any like topics that you would really like these mom mentors to address, like maybe you really want to know how to talk about sex with your kids, or it, like in a Christian way, or you want to talk about stranger danger, or I don't know, whatever you want to talk about, you let me know. I do have quite a few people lined up until about the beginning of November that are hopefully going to actually show up at the right time, on the right day. And I think some of them you're going to really love. A couple of them have had interviews on Focus on the Family, so I'm really honored that they're spending a few minutes with us. So if you have questions for them, or if you have about topics in mind, you can always feel free to let me know. Thanks for popping in. Bye.